If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Well, fun and games on planet Earth, huh? Are you enjoying the wild ride? Well, this is what we have waited for. We have prayed for this. We have been looking towards this occurring for, well, in my case, since 1980, which is when the information began to really come through about the financial collapse and the shift of the ages. We're right in the midst of it. So I hope that I can shift all of you, if you are into worry and fear, I hope we can shift some of that energy tonight. Because we're in a glorious time, a time that we should be really proactive and celebrating life and making rapid tracks into the directions that we really as a soul want to implement and live from. So tonight our topic is, living free is life candy. Don't you love it? I love the pop generation's lingo and this idea of ear candy and eye candy and arm candy, I think is just really fun. But it is that thing in our life that brings sweetness. So what is your sweetener of choice? What is it that imparts sweetness to your life? Well, my sweetener of choice is freedom. Freedom and peace. And I have been living in that state of freedom for some time now. And I must say it was hard earned. Because to be free in this world, you have to own yourself. You have to be your own authority, your own master, your own teacher, your own guide, your own reference point for what is real and true, your own reference point as to where you go in your life and what you do with your life stream. In other words, you have to author yourself, birth yourself, integrate yourself, and be yourself without reneging, compromising, deferring, backing down, giving over power, or any of the other mindless things we do when we're acting out of a limited self. So in these shows, we keep working away at that prison that we have bound ourselves into by negative states. You hold your negativity and your bondage and your karma to you and in place by making your issues more important than your loving. When you make those issues more important than the love that you are and the loving that you've come to impart to this planetary world, you are bound by your karma. And I'll tell you, the worst chains in the world are fear, doubt, that sense of oppression, you know, living under someone's shadow of judgment and should do, have to do, must do, you know, all those things. Are oppressive and heavy. The depression that comes when you do that, a sense of lack and worry that comes from depending upon outer abundance to source you and to supply you and give you security. This is hell. That sense of victim consciousness and the anger and hatred and unforgiveness that infests the human heart and makes it an abode of demons rather than divinity. These are the things that keep us in prison. These are the things that inhibit our freedom of soul. And these are the things that are now collectively going in our world. Our world has been preying upon the weak and the ignorant and the helpless and the oppressed and the fearful and the doubtful. And those who have been living out of a limited sense of self. The stronger in ego structure, domination and authority and negative energy has literally kept humanity in bondage. And we know who their master is, because he is the master of deceit and bondage. That Lord, that negative God, that holds sway in the worlds beneath soul. We've called him Kaal Niranjan, or the blemishless darkness, or you can call him Satan, which is his name also. And that God of this world, this lower world, this world of mammon, this world of material enslavement, has been under his domination. And we, the people of God, are stepping free of that now. Who are the people of God? The people who are like God. What is that? Love. The people of God are known as lovers, the lovers of humanity and the lovers of the divinity resonant in all hearts and all places. They reverence life. And the people of God are always, if you read historically in the scriptures, they're always lifted to another level prior to major stuff coming down in their respective worlds or generations or historical periods. Some of them are lifted in consciousness so that they can go through whatever they need to go through almost in an anesthetized state. They live in such a divine state of exaltation that they're not locked into body consciousness, because many times in the past they've been imprisoned or have suffered other fates. There's also a group that is actually taken out of any dimensional period, lifted, as it were, vibrationally into a different grid. And that is what we're going to experience tonight. I would like to take you excuse me, on an experiential journey beyond this excuse me, veil of this lens that seems to be like a cataract over our spiritual eyes. These eyes must learn to see beyond the obvious, the material. We must learn to see beyond that. Excuse me, we've got smokers next door, and the smoke is really hard on my throat chakra. So bear with me here. That's life on planet Earth, isn't it? So let's take a deep breath. And just sit where you are in your room, your couch, wherever. This is an experiential journey that you will be able to practice on your own. You will be able to minister it if you're with someone who is in process of leaving their body. If you're in process of leaving your body in some manner, this is the way to do it. Because moving your inner awareness into your soul body is the same as dying. When Paul, the Ascended Master Paul, said, "I die daily," he was referring to that ability that he had to move beyond identification with the sensual world around him. He could withdraw in his spirit into the freedom of soul that's always present. And so in this exercise, I want you to begin, when you do it on your own, to pay attention to these sparks that you're seeing, these little flashes of light, because they indicate our transdimensional relocation into a higher version of the Earth. So as we sink into this moment, and we just come into presence with our breathing, you can start chanting a few hues or anti-hues, begin to attune. And you knew something big was coming. We've all sensed it so acutely that at times it's made us feel restless. We didn't know why. It's like spring fever. It's like being in love. There's an expectation on the second attention, just out of the forefront of your consciousness, but it sort of hovers as something new that is getting ready to birth into your experiential reality. And this is what is happening for very many, many, many of us. And it begins with sitting with sort of an unfocused vision. This would mean your eyes would be open. You're not thinking of anything in particular. You're just sitting and being. Perhaps you're listening to a friend talk. And you notice little sparks appear, just sort of bright flashes. Those are actually interdimensional beings. I know many, many of you have taken photographs and seen the globes. These are, again, a manifestation of multidimensional lives, life forms, the Merkabas of angelic forces and Davic forces that are present, and we're beginning to see them appear in to this density. Because the ascension is an appearing in of a higher order, and also the disappearance of where you've been. So as you begin to let your focus go unfocused, just sort of sitting there, you'll notice that there will be light starting to appear around objects. If you're looking outside, looking at a mountain range, you might see the light around the top of the mountains or around the trees. You might see it around your friend's head if you're sitting and listening to someone or sitting with someone. You might see it around the pictures or objects in your room. This is beginning to see into that next density. You may notice little quigglies at the periphery of your vision, maybe little flashes of light. These are all indicative of that other dimension beginning to appear in. You may have a sense at times of being very, very tall. That's when you're moving multidimensionally into that vaster self. You may find yourself stepping on steps that aren't there, or feeling like an animal. Very often I'll feel like there's a cat or a dog that I feel run across the room, and I stop, you know, so I won't bump into them. Or if I'm driving, sometimes I brake for things that aren't there. These are all part of the moving into this other dimension. When your eyes are closed, often you'll see the light patterns of the higher dimensional communication forms, which come in as electropictograms, light, geometric patterns, and so forth. So you notice the walls start to wave. It's so interesting. They look like curtains sometimes. They begin to look very unsolid. They begin to wave just very gently. And sometimes things will shimmer in and out. You'll see double imagery, or you'll suddenly look at something and you'll go into the energy of it rather than the substance of it. Some of you are being able to see actually through objects. This is all part of the journey. Enjoy it. So as we move into this soft field, this soft energy, all of a sudden everything just fades gradually. And suddenly you're in another realm. And the first thing you notice is that you're greeted with great, great love. People that are near and dear to you come to welcome you, call you by name, take you by the hand. And they have all been waiting for you, excited to see you. Your beloved other wholeness, your divine complement or twin flame, your Bayun affinity, we call them many things. But your other half, your other spiritual component is there waiting for you. And there's such a sense of carrying on with a real life, a life that you have never in highest truth left except in a distraction temporarily, which focused you here in the third density. So as you embrace of this experience, you notice you're in an incredibly beautiful realm. Everything is so sparkly and clear and pristine and beautiful and welcoming and loving, peaceful. The grass is so very, very emerald green. Like Kentucky. Have you ever been to Kentucky and seen the bluegrass? It's so beautiful. And the mountains with that purple cast and snow on the tops of them in the distance. Beautiful flowers, wildflowers. And you might notice that everything is without any kind of harmful component. The roses over there in the rose bush, if you go and look at it, you'll notice they don't have thorns. You'll notice that there's animals of all species playing together. Look over there, there's some lion cubs, and they're playing with lambs. And the tiger and the oxen are eating grass together. And people from all races and climes and creeds and national origins, all that seems to have been washed away in a unified human race, where all the colors and all of the different varieties of people and their cultural variegations, which are so beautiful and unique, we're all together as a family of light celebrating our uniqueness and yet embracing of a unified whole. You notice gone are the national and international borders. There are no passports. There's no currency. There are no cities. I don't see any freeways. I don't see any cars. I don't see any factories, no industry, no shopping malls. Sorry, teenage girls. No, all of that seems to have been left behind. So what do we do? Well, look over there and you'll see homes that look so much like sculptured jewels. They're in divine geometric forms in very, very brilliant jewel tones. They're translucent, and yet when you're inside them, you can't see. You can see out, but no one can see in. So you have a feeling of being in a jewel in the midst of nature. Very, very beautiful. And everything is movable. In other words, when you think of a certain music, it appears. When you think of a certain scene or you want to change the coloration in your room or how it's arranged, you just simply intend into that and it appears. And what do you do all day? Well, you enjoy creating and sharing the things that you've created mentally, spiritually, and manually. There's a lot of singing and dancing and celebrating with different evocative measures that open dimensional doorways so that we can travel and visit other cultures, other dimensions, other planets, other worlds, other beings. There's a tremendous freedom. The quarantine has been lifted, and Earth is now part of the family of united and peaceful worlds. We have open access to many, many beings. And we're all unified in that love, in that higher dimension. This is a joyous, joyous time. And as we move in more and more into this state, we notice that it is one of complete coordination, cooperation, harmony, that harmonic resonance that governs all the higher divine worlds is operative here. There are no politicians, no governments, no authorities. It isn't needed. There's no laws. They're not needed because everyone is living as they truly are, an embodiment of divine love. Everybody's young and healthy. No one is impaired in this higher dimensional version of the earth. If you had infirmities or you were ill or you had incapacity in some form, it's vanished. Your body is 18 to 25 years of age in appearance. It's beautiful. Handsome. I'm noticing both the men and women have long hair that's caught up with flowers and long flowing robes. Everything seems to be flowing and fluidic, joyful and free. The abilities that we have always had have been restored to us because, you see, we fell originally from the sixth density, according to Drungvalo Melchizedek. We were ascended masters at the sixth density, and we fell. Sometime, I suppose, during the Atlantean root race. And when I say fell, actually we were locked and quarantined into the third density so that we could no longer travel freely beyond the spheres of the Earth. We were kept locked in place and subjected to the wheel of karma and reincarnation, which kept us locked in place. So, beloveds, now is the time that we are being called to step free. My friend Omnic Onik, who is from Venus, she's not a walk-in like me. She's actually one who has densified her astral body from Venus and came in a convoy craft, as she calls them, to Earth about 1952-53, somewhere in there. She came with her uncle and another person who was visiting the Earth and was living on the Earth at the time. She landed in a spaceship in a place in Nevada and was met by this man who is from another world. I believe it was Mars who picked them up, she and her uncle Odin. And if you read George Adamski's book, Inside the Spaceships, he speaks of meeting a Venusian by the name of Orthon. Well, that was actually her uncle Odin. And he had accompanied Omnic Onik because she was going to come and live with a family in America who had never seen their grandchild. And she was going to replace this grandchild who would be killed en route to going to live with this family that had never met her. And she did. But the point I want to make here, and she's still living on Earth, we talk by phone. The point I'm making here is that she recalls when her planet was in as bad a shape as ours is today. In fact, it was in a worse shape, she said. They had actually gone into thermonuclear warfare. And it's really, really nasty. And all sorts of things were happening on her planet. And people just, I don't remember if it was, I think it was probably before the warfare broke out. I think it was leading up to it. They're pretty much where we are today on our planet. And the people just suddenly got fed up with it and walked off the job. They just en masse left their factories, their workplaces, their gerbil cage existence, their many lives, their lives of bondage and limitation. They walked out, left everything behind, and went out into the countryside and began to live off the land with each other, sharing their resources and creating a different life. She said their ascension took place over a couple hundred years. It was gradual for them. She has said that our ascension is occurring very rapidly, just in a few short years, although it's been in preparation, let's say, for 2,000 years. We are in the time now when it's just going to very quickly come. It's been likened to a birth. You know, we've had this long gestational period and this long labor, and now we're just getting ready for the crowning and the issuing forth of the new life, which is us as a human species moving into a new version of the Earth. So she describes this, and she said the first thing that happened was that the colors started getting really vivid. People's visual patterns started to shift, which is what I was prefacing when we went into this process. You begin to see things differently. You begin to see the beauty in things. Things seem to be like they were Windexed, you know, Claritin clear. They're just really bright visual imagery. And you begin to see the details of the world around you begin to be magnified in beauty and clarity of color and depth of color. And she said that just continued and continued until they actually went from the third into the fourth density. So she has embodied here on Earth in what is called the astral plane of Venus. Now, as we ascend, we're actually moving into the astral plane of Venus because Venus is the soul of Earth. So as the whole of the creation spirals, we're moving actually into what's called the vibrational field of the lowest density of Venus. So our experience will be very rapid, but it's preceded exactly like Omnic Onik has described, in that you get a sense of greater and greater beauty and clarity and bright colors. And we've already been seeing that for about 20 years now, about since the 60s, the bright colors started coming in. We went from the, you know, the hippie and gothic black, so to speak, into vivid colors, the hippie generation, the flower power, all of that was very colorful. I remember, you know, before 1960, you couldn't find a purple shirt for a man. You know, everything was black, brown, gray, tan, beige. But after about 1970, all these bright colors suddenly became available. Even, you know, underwear, everything started getting purples and mauves and pinks, and for men, too. So this is part of that dimensional shift, believe it or not. We became color conscious. We began to want color in our lives, which is the first indication of moving into those higher dimensional overlays. So in moving into this, you began to prioritize joy, prioritize doing the things that you really want to do, love to do, are gifted in doing. Why in the world would you do anything less than that? My granddaughter was just fired from her job. And I said, well, that's wonderful, honey. I said, now you didn't want that job anyway. Now you can go and do what you really want to do. And this is what's happening to us now. Many of us are losing jobs. Many of us, the retirement, all of a sudden, money that we thought we were going to have, it's not there. The money we thought we could depend upon, it's probably not going to be there. I don't foresee this global economic crash stopping. Actually, I think it's the end of the end of the reign of mammon and the greed and petty larceny that has driven the market forces. It has been said that that is now the stronghold of the Dark Lodge, is the gaming casinos that we call the markets. So is that so? I mean, let's wish them a speedy demisal. What it's going to do is force us to go into a whole different lifestyle. Whenever there is a terrible calamity, people tend to join together. They form alliances and coalitions and communities, and that's what we're designed to do. We're designed to live in communities of light, islands of light. And that's what we're about now. We're not designed to be alone, to live alone, to be self-sufficient. Spiritually, yes, but not in the terms of living and sharing life. We are social, and we are communal and tribal by nature. That's how God created us. And so, that's what we're going to be doing. So rather than try to find another job just to get a paycheck, just to make a living, let's begin to think outside the box. Begin to make an appraisal and an assessment of your resources. Try to get everything liquid that you possibly can. In other words, get your money. And begin to, sit on it for a while and then see in the little bit of time that we have left where money's going to be viable, which I don't think it's going to be that much longer. Put it where it counts. You'll be guided on that. I can't tell you. But you'll be guided. And begin to really look at, okay, if I was going to live in the golden age now, if I was going to live out of my bliss, my joy, my highest divine free state, what would that look like? And how can I create it? Who can I join with? So that everybody can co-share in the building of this quality of life. This is where you're finding yourself through the Christ Consciousness Grid that was created some time back, finding yourself coming into spiritual alliances that are on the same page with you. Unerringly, you're being led to people, places, and things that are part of your destiny, part of your lineage, part of your families of light. Oh, this is such a joyful time. So let's begin to take authority for our own lives and realize that all this acting out on the stage right now, the political scene, the financial scene, all of that, by and large involves mass consciousness. And remember, mass consciousness is always sold out for security, material security. Invariably, it will kowtow to authority for security because it hasn't found out who it is yet. It hasn't awakened to the divine self. It hasn't become self-authored or self-authorized. It hasn't taken back its divine beingness. So people that are in that state are running scared. They're the ones that are panicking. You lightworkers have the absolute earth and the stability of the earth in your hands right now. So don't come into agreement with fear and doubt and oppression and depression and lack and worry and victim consciousness or anger, hatred, and unforgiveness. Don't even go there. That's not an option for you. You don't have the luxury to have that kind of negative attitude running in your life. And know that whatever you need will come to you through grace. And when it is grace authored, you don't see the source. You don't determine the source. It finds you at the point of your need. Your only dharma and duty is to be yourself. Do your dharma, do your duty, like we spoke last week. Be authentically in that flow of life where you are doing what comes naturally to you as a soul. That is your gift. That is your job assignment on earth. And when you're operating in that capacity, you will be supported. That's just the way it is in the higher levels. So, in terms of the mass consciousness, we light workers are considered loose cannons. Why? Well, because we're free and we can't be controlled. We march to our own music and we don't go by outer authority. We're not rebellious spirits and we don't, you know, put a red flag in front of the raging bull. But we walk non-inflictively through life. And we don't invest ourselves into the mammon-driven, Babylonian worldview. We live God-authored and God-focused. We're centered in divine awareness. We're connected to the Lord in deep love and deep commitment and a deep sense of being a child of God, being an emanation of the divine. And we feel loved and protected and provided for. And we are. So as you move into that knowing that your needs will be met, and you learn to listen and be real attentive and to do what you can do with what you've got at hand to take care of yourself and your family and to explore other alternatives, if you're in a situation where you are being guided to move, then you move. But if you're not, like I'm sitting right square dab on the break-off point of the San Andreas Fault in Southern California. I'm not sure on which side. I'm not sure if it's the side that's supposed to go into the ocean, which it's not, by the way, as long as we're here. And by where, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about all of us as light workers. And maybe I'm on the other side where it's the break-off point, and I'll have seafront property. Not sure. I'm not afraid. Why is that? Well, because I've been to the other side, and I know what's there. I've died to this world many, 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 many times. And I have also come back in time from the future. So I know where we're headed. So I speak from the voice of experience and reassurance, out of knowledge, not out of wishful thinking. And you don't have a thing to worry about if you placed yourself fully and completely in the hands of God. And you're walking in faith, love, trust, gentleness, kindness, service, and doing the best you can to be a blessing wherever you're living, whatever you're doing. When you've kept that sweetness present in your life, which comes from union with God, keeping company with God makes you sweet. Not religion. Keeping company with religion often does not make you sweet. Keeping company with the beloved, the Lord, which is your next breath, your heartbeat, is within you, around you, under you, over you, on either side of you. Wherever you are, the presence is there. Sense the presence of the beloved. Sweet talk the beloved. Commune with the beloved. You know, my favorite time of day is when I go downstairs and I have a cup of coffee. I like that Starbucks espresso, real strong, a little bit 2% milk in it. And I like to talk to the Lord. I just love it. And usually it's kind of a lover's talk. It's like, oh, God, I love you. Just love you so much. I'm just so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful to be who I am, to know what I know, to do what I do, to be what I am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just thank the Lord for taking care of my kids, which move in the rat race in the middle of the film industry of Hollywood. The nitty-gritty, round zero. But you know, I don't worry about my kids. They're going to be just absolutely fine, and so are yours. They're going to be fine, whatever happens. What's the worst that can happen to us? Well, the worst that can happen is that we step from this dimension into the next. We're all going to do that anyway. Did you know that being born as a human is a terminal disease? Yeah. What gets born in the body dies. The body dies. If it doesn't actually die, it dies to this level and is awakened to another level. So either way, you leave this material world and you appear in another world. So shouldn't that be of more concern to you than what the stock market does? Don't you think it's a good time to start practicing getting out of your body, raising your consciousness above the material self? You might say, well, how the heck do I do it? Well, almost every show I teach you how to do it. You take a deep breath, and with conscious intention, you connect to God. It's just that simple. You just, with your intention, I intend to connect, therefore I'm connected. And you chant, you and I, you. Ooh, hallelujah. See, I'm just flooded with goosebumps all over my body. I'm just shaking with that simple attunement because I practiced it. So I'm really sensitive to it. But you can do it too. If you're worried and stressed, I promise you, if you will sit down and breathe slowly and deeply and slowly chant you, you can go H-U or Anai-U or Jesus, you know, anything that has the two, or Rama, those two syllables, or So Hum, or Sat Nam, any of those two syllables will put you right into the soul, right into soul consciousness, right into attunement. And you see, the peace just absolutely becomes immediately, experientially present. I promise you, if you do that, the next time you can't sleep, the next time you're worried, stressed, depressed, whatever, do that. And that will set you free. So as you practice these very simple techniques, and something really, truly spiritual is never difficult. It's always very, very simple. As you do that, you'll find that your life takes on such a sweetness. I love Sai Baba's definition of life. He said, life is like a cot full, a mattress full of bed bugs. the only sweetness that life has is the presence of God. And the Buddhists are even more elaborate. Well, the Vedantins are too, when they go into different categories of suffering that comes with material existence. But as I've said before in previous shows, once you have realized that you are not the body, you are not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, you're not your feelings, you're not your imagination. What are you? You are immortal love. You are Sat Chit Ananda. You are eternal existence, eternal awareness, eternal bliss. That is who you are forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never die. You'll never be destroyed. You are that. You're part and parcel of God. Once you know that, you don't sweat the small stuff. You don't notice much what's going on. I'm not an ostrich with my head in the sand. I watch everything on TV. I listen to the news. I listen to the talking heads. I listen to everything. But I don't pay any attention to it at all. I see it because it's affecting people and where they are in their consciousness, and that's where I'm attentive. What's impacting my beloved humanity? That I love with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I love all of you. I love everyone that exists because you are my Lord and my God. You are God incarnate. And because of that, I care about every single one of you. And what hurts you distresses me because I realize you're not awake. The level of your pain is letting you know where you're asleep. And so, beloved, let that pain, that emotional pain, that mental pain, that physical pain awaken you, because that's what it's there for. How would your life be different if you simply dropped all negative reference to yourself and began to totally identify with your divinity? If you just found some way to remind yourself every time you go into mini-me consciousness, wait a minute, I'm a divine incarnation. I'm ascended. I'm whole. I'm free. I'm blessed. I'm provided for. I'm protected. Wherever I am, God is. All is well. I'm being absorbed into that perfection that is God. I am the perfection that is God. No matter how it looks, only God is real. Only divine good is real. Do you know everything in your life that's negative, you're not going to remember it? As we step into this other version of the earth, you're going to forget everything but the love. The love and the loving will be there. Everything you love, cherish, and value will be there. You won't lose anything that you've put your heart into. But your pain, your disease, your suffering, all that came in with the lower fall and locking into the third density, all of that will be gone. You don't need money where we're going. We need to learn to live without money. We need to learn to live without governments and boundaries and national whatevers that keep us separate from one another. If we could get to know our brothers and sisters throughout the world and sit down eyeball to eyeball with them, and we got rid of the politicians and the military and all of that, and we just came as people, you know what? We would love each other a lot. We would see what we have in common. And we would help each other have a quality of life, that life would have meaning. It would be cherishable rather than expendable. That is the vision. And you know what? The biggest, hugest movement on this planet, the most ginormous movement on the planet today, is for a unified world. A world in which unity and coherency of the one life is manifesting now. I'm part of that movement. My life is committed to it. And I invite everyone that's not already committed to it to come and join. Because that's the answer. That's where we, the people of God, are headed. That's where we're going. And we're coming from every nation, every race, every creed, every color, every background, every station in life. and we are marching as a people of God, and we're going to make a ginormous exodus from a third density universe into this hyperdimensional spatial universe of living light and living love and divine empowerment, because it's a Shekinah universe. It's a universe based on the power of God Almighty. And that's where we're moving as a collective Christ race, as Mashiach, Mashishi, the collective Messiah. That's who we are. That's what we are. And that's a choice level, beloved. You can step into that freedom now when you make that more important than your issues, than your fears, than your lacks. All of the negativity is driven by negative spirits. Cast them out. You know how you do that? Fear, I take authority over you in the name of my Christ-conscious self, in the authority of the Christ that lives within me. Be gone, fear. Get out of my mind. Get out of my emotions. Get out of my house. Get out of my children's lives. Get out of my finances. That's how you talk to fear. That's how you talk to doubt. That's how you talk to all appearances of negativity. You take authority over them by the Christ I am that I am that you are. You don't put up with that nonsense. You don't even have to process it. What's the process? Get rid of it. It's not you. It's not truth. It's not of God. You know, you can walk into the darkest hellhole imaginable, but if you walk in the light and love of the self that you are, you will turn it into heaven in a nanosecond. You're walking heaven. You're walking kingdom glory. So walk it out, sister. Walk it out, brother. Get it out there. Get that divinity out of that closet and into the world, into the marketplace, into the gerbil cage, whatever, wherever. Get it out. The free person, you see, that lives in freedom of soul has that nature that doesn't out-reference, doesn't outsource, doesn't look to others for direction. Oh, that doesn't mean you're arrogant and you think you can't learn or you can't listen to people, but you don't make your decisions based on what other people say that you should do. You sense whether or not it lines up with you. If it's clear emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, morally, principally, value-wise, all the levels, it's clear. The biggest indication you can have, the biggest sign when you are walking in freedom of soul is clarity. You have tremendous clarity when you're free. You see what things are, the good, the bad, and everything in between, but you don't judge it. You leave it alone. Your self-directive is to be in congruency with what is so for you, and you leave everyone else free to do what they need to do. Now, if they come to you and ask you for feedback, sure, give it. But we are not in the business to poke our nose into other people's businesses. Oh, by the way, everybody and their dog has asked me about October 14th. And quite a few have been quite upset when I said, I don't know anything about it. Oh, why don't you know anything about it? Well, because I haven't been given that information. Now, does that invalidate the information? No. I just haven't been given that information. So you need to listen to the person who was given that information if you want to know about that information. Don't ask me to tell you whether or not it's true. I don't know. I wasn't given the information. There are about, give you a little clarity here, there are approximately, according to the extraterrestrial Earth mission folks that used to live in Sedona that were friends of mine, according to them, they were pretty accurate, there are 285 extraterrestrial races that are gathered around the Earth at this time, trying to contact their agents, people that are part of their team, people that they have some sort of karmic affinity with or connection, people that they're trying to, for whatever reason, come in contact with them. And there are all kinds of different levels of information out there. Every group has their upline informants. You know, the upline, I just like to call it the spiritual upline, that they're connected with. And every level, every plane, every dimension, every world, every star command has a whole different encodement of information. I am Lady Athena. I am the twin flame of Lord Ashtar, or the wife or the maid or whatever you want to call that. Biune affinity is what we like to call it. I have responsibility to take directives only from the Most Radiant One and Ashtar. I don't pay any attention to any other voice. I don't listen to anybody else. I don't reference to anyone else. I don't pay attention to channeling. I don't read channeled material. I don't read any UFO material. I don't read any New Age material. I don't read any of that stuff. I don't web search. I don't pay attention to any of it. I keep my mind on my message and what I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for the Earth-based volunteers that have come through our command, our Ashtar Galactic Command, who have come from the Divine Throne Realms, 12th-dimensional beings who have stepped down into Earth to be of service for Earth's ascension and graduation at this time. So anything else is not my area of concern. So you learn to prioritize your time, your focus, your energy, and your message, if you're a messenger, to delivering the message you've been given to deliver. And all levels are needed. All levels are necessary. Everybody that is marked to be a messenger is doing what they need to do to do what they need to do. But don't expect agreement in the messages, because a message coming from the throne realms will be absolutely diametrically different than one, say, for example, coming out of the astral realms. Totally different. That's why I don't get into those levels. I work topside down, not bottom side up. I'm not seeing you evolving up into spirituality. I'm seeing you descending as divine incarnations, becoming overly identified with the physical level. So my job is to point you back to who you really are and what you've always been. Get the idea? So it doesn't matter who says what or what appears in the sky or what date it is. It is what it is. If it happens, fine. I don't know what that could possibly do for any of us. At least it's pleasant, you know. It's always nice to see some evidence of something beyond the ordinary. I think we all love that. But it's nothing to get all bent out of shape. I'm astonished. There's like 90 different YouTubes and website stuff going on about this. It's amazing. If I wanted attention, that's all I have to do is say there's going to be a huge spaceship appear for 3 days in the sky. And wow. And I'm not mocking the information because, you know, maybe there will be. I hope there will be. I think it would be really cool. But the point of it is it's a third-dimensional sky and a third-dimensional appearing, and that's not who we are and what we are and why we're here. And it's time for us to decide what is the ideal that we've dreamed for, prayed for, wanted to participate in for so many years. And let's just move into that. Let's just do that. Let's let this world disappear. And let's move collectively, like all Nagonic and the Venusians. Let's move into that higher dimensional Earth and exit the gerbil cage karma drama. But to do that, we have to sacrifice the issues that we've made more important than the peace of God. We have to sacrifice trying to be a victim or trying to point out an enemy. We have to sacrifice againstness, separation, and blame, judgment, and comparison, and all the other mean-spirited things that the mini-me conjures up. Are you ready? You ready to do that? Let's do that. And let's make our security inward and part of our relationship with God, so that we are not dependent on what the stock market does or how much money we have in the bank. The happiest, most peaceful people I've seen in my world travels have been the people that had the least. And I'm not an advocate of poverty. I think poverty sucks. But the point I'm making is that the more we have, the more attachment we tend to have with material things, more concern about maintaining them and keeping them safe and so forth. So a simple life is actually a happier life. And that's why I think so many of the people who are truly enlightened, they live very, very simple lives. So let's think about that. Let's think about the kind of life we'd like to have where we're not the slave of mammon and the slave of the mass consciousness and the mass systems that have kept us enslaved for so many, many decades. Let's step free through grace. Let's enjoy the life candy we can have when we're living free. Let's go out chanting Shanti, Shalom, Pachem, Peace. Shanti, Shalom, Pachem, Peace. Shanti, Shalom, Pachem, Peace. God bless you, God be with you, and God is who you are. God willing, I'll see you next week. Adonai.